times change beyond recognition. There's no reason to expect that he would remember you or I for any of our contemporaries. This is a new generation, a new world, so changed, so different, so terribly different.
Yeah.
I'm very glad that I'm not on your side of life.
Who's it speaking now?
No desire whatsoever to return to your sphere of life. I do not mind, of course, like so many other souls, coming back to speak blissful living in your world. I'm very happy to be away from it. Can you hear what I say?
Yes, we can hear you.
Conditions very, very most opposing sort of thing. One needs opportunity to rehearse, to have opportunity to converse in this fashion. One needs plenty of opportunity for rehearse.
Yeah. What is your name, friend?
Aspect of religious thought, and follow out certain rituals, but I'm afraid many people have great shock happening to them eventually when they realize the naturalness of life here. I cannot stress too strongly the word natural, because this is exactly what it is, a natural life. It's a spiritual life inasmuch that we have spiritual desires, and we have the desire for spiritual awareness, consciousness, progress. But goodness me, we are all in varying states and degrees of evolution, and it is a world of varied interests and varied aspects of thought and outlook, and that's what makes it all so interesting and exciting. We're not all thinking alike. We're not all on the one plane, you might say, of thought, in which we all follow a certain religious code. Here we are living in a world of reality in which we are all playing a very important part. And all nationalities and all types, but all are striving to reach a higher plane of thought, higher plane of spiritual consciousness. There is no bickering, there is no misunderstanding, because we are all aware of our failings, but we are all endeavoring together in a harmonious way to develop and to grow and expand our consciousness. And we all have work to do, some kind or another, work which we have chosen to do, to which we are best fitted according to our outlook and according to our varying abilities such as they are. But this idea that some people have of this religious vague world, which only exists in the minds of those who carry over very strong impressions and thoughts from their religious background and upbringing, these are soon lost in the process of evolution and change, in the process of growing up mentally and spiritually.
Well, naturally, of course, I think it's only human and natural to everyone,
more or less, is very surprised on their first arrival here, if ever they've thought about death at all and the possibility of a life to come. I don't think that anyone's thoughts could really match up to the beauty of it all, the thrilling and exciting experience that must take place of the so-called through the so-called process of death. Here, for the first time, you have a feeling of elation, of being on a plane or condition of life which is, to one's own way of thinking, perfect. Although one soon realizes there are greater changes yet to come, greater opportunities, greater realizations follow, but one has this tremendous feeling of elation, this lightness, this feeling of having shed all the cares and the problems and the worries and the anxieties and the tiredness and the aches and the pains that develop as one becomes older. Here one is released, as it were. One feels the sense of elation, the feeling of being transported into a world of such rarity and beauty and tranquility and peace and joy. So many varying emotions surge upon one and through one that it is almost impossible in words to depict or describe. But we soon begin to accept and soon begin to delve into, as it were, this new life and begin to appreciate to the full all its manifold beauties and joys. And we begin to realize there is work to do, each one according to himself, to his best ability. So each one finds a niche for themselves, a place. Oh, I cannot tell you how beautiful it is and how necessary it is for human beings, when on earth, if they can, to grasp the meaning of death, that it is the great and glorious gateway to a great and glorious life, a fuller life, a happier life, life in which one can truly be one with another in harmony and in love, where there is really brotherhood and affection, where we can work together in peace, and we can solve many of the problems that once beset us. For though we in a sense release ourselves from many earth burdens, it does not mean to say that we're not conscious of the needs of those whom we love and those whom perhaps we have never known on earth, but we feel the need to help if we can, and the opportunity to return, such as this, to give to you this great and glorious truth, is for us the greatest joy. We just want every soul who's seeking to realize the opportunities are many. Only they will open their eyes and see for themselves. There is no need for them to fear death. But one must remember that you are creating, to some extent, while yet on earth, the conditions which you will inherit. By this I mean individually, and in a sense possibly even collectively. When man thinks evil, and when he thinks the wrong thoughts, when he brings about disaster in his own life, his own world, naturally there are repercussions. These things, though one shakes them off at death, does not mean to say one is not conscious of the mistakes, and one desires, if one can, to return to earth, to help those less fortunate, that they may not make similar mistakes, that they may, as it were, create out of the conditions of chaos in the earth something different and better. Man may see for himself the true path. We come that we might in some measure open the path for humanity, that they may build in consequence a better world, so that there shall not be, as there must be for some, difficulties when they first arrive here. One of the most difficult things is, of course, for a person immediately to shake off the earth and all that it means and all that it is given to them.
May I ask how you by producing now? Is it all different? I thought it would be quite
different. Depends entirely, of course, really, upon the circumstances and the people involved, and where one may be, as you would say, putting on the play. But no, it's not so very different. For the only thing is here that I think, because of the sensitivity of the individual, which is so much more heightened than the perception that one has of human beings, and one is reproducing, shall we say, in a certain play, a certain character, one can not only assume that character, but if it's only temporary, of course, but one can always, you might say, be that personality, and one radiates a condition which, by its very nature, influences and can influence others. We take many of our plays, many of our productions, as you will call them, to the lower spheres where there's less advancement, where we perform certain types of plays in which we're able to show the inhabitants their own failings and where their mistakes are and where, as it were, they themselves fell or failed, not only themselves but others, and also we can help them to see, perhaps for the first time, a way out of the darkness in which they find themselves. I wouldn't have you think, when I refer to darkness, that it is darkness as you understand the meaning of the term I'm talking here, as darkness of mind. And you see, many of these souls on lower spheres in their own environment and condition are not exactly unhappy people. They have their interests and they are quite, in a way, happy. But they have no need, or at least so they think, for advancement. They're content to be as they are. They don't want, particularly, shall we say, to rise from the conditions in which they find themselves. They live a kind of life which in some senses is very similar to an earthly one, And we sometimes try to perform prayers, I suppose, in the way you might almost liken them to the old morality prayers that used to be produced many years ago. And we're able to help them by showing them situations common to themselves when on earth, in which they played part, a very important part, in which, in a way, is necessary to help them to see, perhaps, help them to lift themselves out of the environment in which they find themselves. We try to give them a deeper insight into the path and the way. It's very difficult to explain this because sometimes we may improvise, sometimes we do things on the spur of the moment, as you would put it. We take an incident from an individual in the audience. I may, for instance, talking from my own experience, may see around or sense around an individual certain set of circumstances and conditions peculiar to that person, which are very apparent and can be very much easily interpreted by an artist, that is, by someone who has been used to doing this sort of thing, and one portrays certain things appertaining to that person, which are obviously holding that person back. And sometimes the first time they see themselves. It's very difficult to explain, but it's something which is very important. You know, it's very difficult sometimes for people who live with something, live with their own personality and their own character for a long, long time, to really know themselves or really understand themselves. And indeed, many people are very blind to their mistakes and their failings and their faults and things which sometimes are stumbling blocks in the way of progress. Sometimes, therefore, we're able to help them to see themselves for the first time. And Shakespeare, of course, said that acting should be like holding a mirror up to nature. So it is. I think that when people can see themselves through someone else, or in someone else's performance or portrayal, it makes them think deeply and think to themselves, well, am I like that? That's so like me. And they begin to think, am I really as dreadful as that? And how terrible. And they begin to do something about it. They start thinking differently, and in consequence they start becoming rather different, and then gradually they can change the environment. But, of course, all this is very difficult to explain. Theatre plays a very important part in our lives here. Entertainment is very important. We mustn't just think that we sit around singing hymns and playing the harmonium and all waiting for some glorious day when we shall all be caught up in the sky and become part of God's elect, and some will be thrown down into the fiery pit, and some will be chased over the pitchfork forever. Those old-fashioned ideas, which are based on fear to drive people into religious beliefs and convictions, all this, of course, is probably not so bad, obviously, as it used to be in your world. It used to be a very real thing. People were very, very feared, very frightened, and they tried to be good and went to church, and really out of fear, rather than love. Love is the key that unlocks all the doors. One must always remember that if one does something from one's inner soul, inner self, in love, even if it doesn't necessarily always go right, even if sometimes there are mistakes, anything that is done with good intent and purpose must produce good results of some kind, even though it may not always be apparent within oneself or with other people. One must strive in love to serve. To forget oneself in service is surely the key that opens up all the doors. I know that is true. I found it to be so.
Well, did you have an inner awareness of this truth?
Oh, yes and no, yes and no. I suppose, like so many other people, I had a sort of leaning, but never had time, of course, to delve into it seriously. I mean, I'm talking here from a spiritistic point of view. I didn't barely believe in spiritualism, and I didn't exactly disbelieve. I had a kind of an open mind. I think that everyone has, whether they may deny it, of course. People may say, oh, it's a lot of nonsense, don't believe a word of it, you know. But I think every human being must sometime or other think about this subject, about communication and death and so on. It's something that, of course, you cannot avoid thinking about. People may not call themselves by any name in particular, may not have any strong religious conviction or belief, but nevertheless, I think every human being must wonder, think about the possibility of communication and whether death is the end and so on. These are natural questions, natural problems that every human being must face and does face to some extent. A lot of people shirk it off, don't have anything to do with it, don't want to know about it. But everyone has this fear, I suppose. It is a fundamental human natural fear of death and what may happen, if anything at all. I think everyone must have this realization of truth sooner or later. Of course, it must come to them when it happens that they die, and then they find out, of course, that if one knows about it previously, it can be a great blessing, great help. It could be the salvation of the world. There's no doubt about that. It could definitely be. In fact, I would say it's the only thing that can save the world, that will bring human beings together in true understanding and brotherhood, break down all the barriers of national spirit and barriers man has built up through creeds, dogmas, and isms of all kinds, and national spirit and party spirit, political and religious. These are the big problems. When there is a universal understanding of truth, life eternal, then man will change, and the world in consequence will change. But it will be much better for everyone, of course. Oh, it's a great problem. I have to go, I'm told. The power is waiting.
Here we have your name again. I didn't get it on the tape.
My name is Ermitree.
Thank you very much.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
Goodbye. Thank you so much.
Thank you.